This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Jerry Corsi is an investigative reporter and author, PhD from Harvard, and he's been writing books for many years. His latest book is Showdown with Nuclear Iran, Radical Islam's Messianic Mission to Destroy Israel and Cripple the United States. He's co-author with Michael Evans, and he joins us on the long line from his home in New Jersey. Is that right, Jerry?
Yes, that's right. It's a great pleasure to be with you today.
Oh, well, it's all our honor. Thank you so much for spending some time with us. Let's cut right to the chase. What's the situation with Iran, and why should we be concerned or worried about what's going on in Iran?
Well, as you'll see when you read when your listeners read the Showdown with Nuclear Iran, Ahmadinejad, who heads Iran right now, is a zealot who is pursuing as hard as he can nuclear weapons. And he's saying that Israel ought to be destroyed. These are serious beliefs. Ahmadinejad has a messianic view. He believes that, in a cult religious idea, that in 941 AD, the 12th imam, the 12th grandson of the Prophet Muhammad, then a young boy, went down a well and disappeared, and that he's been in reclusion, he's hiding. And that this Mahdi, the guided one, the 12th imam, is going to come out of the well, but only after an apocalypse happens worldwide. And then when the Mahdi comes out of the well, the rightful descent of Islam and the family of the Prophet will be restored, and Shiite Islam, which believes in that line of descent, will triumph over all other religions worldwide and over all of the countries. So Ahmadinejad has expressed repeatedly, including talking at his last speech at the United Nations, that the return of the Mahdi is imminent, and that it's his role, divinely appointed role, to do everything necessary to cause the apocalypse, to bring the Mahdi back. Now, that's very serious and frightening when a head of state in a theocracy is expressing this committed, zealot, religious belief, although it's extremist, one, though, that he's acting on while pursuing nuclear weapons. Does Ahmadinejad seriously think he's going to cause a nuclear holocaust and it's okay to do so if the Mahdi comes out of the well and destroys Israel in the process? It's a very frightening thought.
Do most Iranians concur with this? Are they on board with this? Or is this just a religious zealot leader who most of the majority of Iranians don't necessarily agree with?
Well, the majority of the clerics, the clerics who are now in control, especially Ayatollah Yazdi, his name represents crocodile, they say, because his face looks like a crocodile. Also, his name, Yazdi, in Farsi, sounds like the word for crocodile. He's been professing this belief for his whole career, his whole life. And this is a strongly held belief in Shiite Islam. It's truly a serious religious conviction. The people of Iran, this regime, the Islamic Republic of Iran and the mullahs, have largely hijacked Iran. The regime is widely unpopular. They've been stealing the money from the Iranian people. 67% of the Iranians are in poverty. If you protest this regime today, even on the Internet, you're likely to be arrested, put in prison, killed, never heard from again. The people, I think, two-thirds of the youth are on drugs, are increasingly on drugs. I mean, 300,000 people, youth, graduate from the universities in Iran every year, and about 10% of them find jobs. Country's a disaster, but this radical group, the mullahs, and especially now Ahmadinejad, are conducting a second wave of Ayatollah Khomeini's revolution. And Ahmadinejad is serious when he says the Mahdi will return in a year and a half, and he's going to pursue nuclear weapons, and Israel should be wiped off the face of the earth.
Jerry Corsi is a co-author of Showdown with Nuclear Iran. Jerry, with specifically as possible as you can be without losing us in some of the technical aspects, how close is Iran to possessing a formidable nuclear weapon that poses a threat either to Iran or to Europe?
Well, they already
Israel or Europe.
Israel or Western Europe. They already have a missile, the Shahab 3, which has been tested. It will easily hit Tel Aviv or Western Europe. And that missile can take a nuclear weapon on its warhead And the IAEA has documents from Iran that indicates that Iran knows how to put that nuclear weapon on the missile. They're only months away from enriching uranium. They're now in the final stages of learning how to enrich uranium to weapons grade. That's ongoing at one of their plants in a city called Natanz. And, you know, they're allies with North Korea. They could only be, they could be weeks away if North Korea just sends them some uranium to put onto a missile. There were Iranian military experts at both the test firing of North Korea's missiles in the summer, and just a couple weeks ago when North Korea detonated a nuclear weapon, Iranian military experts were there again. So, you know, it's imminent. It's just around the corner, and this is what Israel is so desperately worried about.
What are we talking about? I mean, put this in, because the only nuclear explosion I know is World War II. When we're talking about Iran possessing a nuclear weapon and being able to put it on a missile that can hit Israel or go into Western Europe, what kind of explosion, for lack of a better word, what size, what are we talking about in terms of the damage it could do? Is it a small, like, nuclear weapon, or is it even bigger than Hiroshima?
I would say a Hiroshima-type weapon. You know, the most likely design for a weapon will be a simple gun-type weapon that is extremely reliable. That's what we used on Hiroshima. We didn't even test it. We only tested at Alamogordo the plutonium device that we dropped on Nagasaki. Most people don't know that. This gun-type design, even if you drop it, works. Because just two pieces of, you know, uranium critical mass smashed into each other, and that causes the nuclear chain reaction and explosion. Iran could put one of those together once it can enrich uranium. And even a low-yield weapon like Hiroshima dropped on Tel Aviv could destroy Tel Aviv. It's not a very big city geographically. And that's the commercial center of Israel. It would destroy the modern Jewish state as we know it. It's conceivable that it could happen, and it could happen in a matter of months.
We're talking with Jerry Corsi, co-author of Showdown with Nuclear Iran. Jerry, hang on with me just 1 minute. We're going to take a very quick break. You're listening to Charlottesville Right Now on News Radio 1070 WINA. Jerry Corsi is an investigative reporter and author. His latest book, co-written with Michael Evans, is Showdown with Nuclear Iran. Jerry joins us on the long line from his office in New Jersey. Jerry, tell us a little bit about how the United States fits into this. Let's start first with Iraq. What is the position and what is Iran doing right now vis-a-vis Iraq and our situation in Iraq?
Well, President Bush called Saddam Hussein and Iraq, Iran and North Korea the axis of evil, and it looks like that's actually true. The difficulty right now is in Iraq is that we are desperately trying to keep a civil war from happening. Iran has been sending insurgents across the border into Iraq. Those insurgents have been working with the Shiites in southern Iran to cause a civil war against the Sunnis in the Sunni triangle in the center of Iraq, all of which would derail the democracy process that President Bush is trying to establish in Iraq. Now, it's a very difficult position for the United States. You know, our military options are on the table, but they're very limited. President Bush has been crippled because we did not find the weapons of mass destruction in Iraq as originally advertised, including by Colin Powell to the United Nations before the Iraq War. And right now, if President Bush were to launch a preemptive war against Iran, I think he'd likely be impeached, and I think the Iranians know that.
It'd be Cambodia. It'd be the Cambodia move during the Vietnam War.
Well, exactly. I mean, President Bush's hands are really tied right now. And the Democrats have pounded him so severely over Iraq that I don't think a preemptive strike by the United States against Iran is a possibility.
But in your educated view and from everything that you've read and the people you've talked to, that should be on the table.
Well, it definitely should be, and it's a weakness that we can't put it credibly on the table because Iran has ignored for 2 years since the second inaugural President Bush's attempt to negotiate with Iran through the EU3 of France, Germany, and the United Kingdom, and the International Atomic Energy Agency, which have desperately tried to get Iran to stop enriching uranium. And Iran's just thumbed its nose at the world community and gone ahead in its merry way enriching uranium regardless of what anybody thinks or says.
What about targeted bombing raids? Could we take out for lack of a better phrase, could we take out their nuclear capabilities? Is that even possible from the air?
Well, we could, and Israel could. I continue to write and say the military option is the worst solution to this. You know, I say Israel in the final analysis could use the Samson option, which, you know, at the end of the day, Israel strikes Iran, a preemptive strike, a massive missile and air attack, maybe even tactical nuclear weapons to get out the deeply bunkered and concrete reinforced nuclear establishments Iran has, and Israel could take out, or we in Israel could take out, the military facilities that are enriching uranium and producing weapons in Iran. But that's a disaster. I mean, Iran has a Shahab-3 missile, even a tactical, you know, conventional strike against our troops in the region could kill thousands of Americans. And a prolonged land war in Iran would be a disaster as well. Iran's a large country. The people could unify behind this regime. A military solution, you know, in the final analysis, nothing happens. Israel may feel it has no choice. They don't want to wake up and find an atomic 9/11 over Tel Aviv. But if a war comes, I said it is going to be the Samson option, you know, taking down the temple to kill your enemies, even if the temple comes down upon you.
What's a Samson option? What do you mean?
Samson option is just like Samson took down the temple in the Bible, you know, to kill the enemies of the Jewish people. Samson in a temple knocked out the pillars, and the temple crashed down and killed the enemies and killed him. Samson option has been used to describe if Israel launches an attack against an enemy like Iran, a massive attack, possibly even including tactical nuclear weapons. You don't know if Israel will get destroyed in the counterattack, and Israel itself doesn't know. It's just that Israel cannot take the risk of sitting back and waiting to see if it's going to be attacked, because that too is suicidal, with a regime like Iran getting a nuclear weapon, actually getting one, and continuing to profess that they're going to wipe Israel out. You can't just sit around and say, we hope nothing happens.
Jerry Corsi is our guest. His new book, Showdown with Nuclear Iran. Of course, Jerry, the big fear about a diplomatic solution is that we end up, you know, the U.S. usually ends up, you know, signing over whatever it can, and yet the other country continues to do what was ticking us off in the first place.
Bill Clinton and Madeleine Albright, you know, gave away everything to North Korea on a promise that North Korea would not use the nuclear fuel and technology we gave it. Kim Jong-il went and made a bomb and accepted our economic aid and said thank you. Madeleine Albright apologized to Iran for offenses going back into the 50s, and Iran didn't care. They'll thank Madeleine Albright and went along making nuclear weapons. I'm talking about, I think we could engage a set of measures. You know, I walked 200 miles. I created an Iran Freedom Foundation after I wrote my first book, Atomic Iran. I still think there could be peaceful change in Iran. We've seen it happen. You know, Ronald Reagan was able to engineer the fall of the Soviet Union without firing a shot. The Ukrainian Orange Revolution, we know that these governments can change from within, especially when the people are so desperately unhappy. Even South Africa dropped apartheid. But to get this to happen, our State Department would have to have regime change as its policy. It does not, even today. The Iran Freedom Support Act got passed. Senator Santorum and Brownback have tried to get millions of dollars to the State Department to fund regime change, democracy, expatriate Iranians around the world, and the State Department sat on the money. It's a tragedy.
Jerry, tell us about the situation with American troops on the ground in Iran, first reported by Seymour Hersh in The New Yorker.
Well, I think Seymour Hersh has been ahead of the curve. He's been trying to say that we've been having incursions and are scoping out with, you know, secret missions, covert missions within Iran, preparing for a strike. I think, you know, Seymour Hersh has been writing this for many years, and I'm not sure he's right. I'm sure we have military intelligence about Iran. I'm sure we have drawn up war plans, but from everything I've been told in Washington, is that, you know, all the war scenarios that have been drawn up in the United States and Israel end up being completely unpredictable. If war starts with Iran, it could quickly escalate based on miscalculations like happened in the Cuban Missile Crisis. We could end up in a, you know, international thermonuclear war. Russia and China are now both solid partners of Iran. Russia sold a $1 billion surface-to-air missile defense system last year to Iran, which Iran's putting around its nuclear establishments. And China did a $600 billion oil and gas natural deal with Iran last year, making Iran, you know, the future will be one of the chief suppliers of oil and natural gas for decades to come to China. Neither country is going to take strong measures against Iran in the Security Council, and both are allies that might actually support Iran if it were attacked by us or Israel.
Jerry, what is it that you think, and I've got about a minute left, what is it you think that most Americans don't get or don't know about Iran and about the current situation there?
Ahmadinejad is a serious zealot. He has nothing to do with Islam. He's hijacked Islam. He's hijacked Iran. He's a terrorist. He's a very brilliant man. He's not stupid. He may have a zealot belief, but he's highly calculating, and he thinks that he can wipe Israel off the face of the earth, and he's going to do everything he can to try. A nuclear war with Iran is around the corner. I've written the second book with Michael Evans, Showdown with Nuclear Iran, to again try to get American people to understand that, you know, what's happening in North Korea and Iran is extremely dangerous, and we're all at risk. We're at risk from nuclear weapons being smuggled into the United States, especially with our wide-open borders. We're at risk that a war starting with Iran or North Korea could spread to a regional or a global war. Americans have never been at greater risk of these kinds of nuclear consequences, and Americans mostly are not aware of the reality. I wrote the book so they could be aware of what's going on.
The book is Showdown with Nuclear Iran, Radical Islam's Messianic Mission to Destroy Israel and Cripple the United States. The new book by Jerry Corsi and Michael Evans. Jerry, I want to thank you. I appreciate your time.
It's an honor to be with you anytime.
Absolutely. That's Jerry Corsi, and this interview will be archived in its entirety on the Charlottesville Podcasting Network at SevillePodcast.com.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SevillePodcast.com for more.